welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for joining the show this week. My guest is Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski, and we'd love to have your questions in our next half an hour. You can email those to ask@wbaa.org. You can tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter, or you can call them in at 496-1999. I remarked to you as you walked in today, you're looking good. You're in good shape, and you said you've been on this exercise regimen that I'm actually in envy of.
Well, thank you. I'm doing CrossFit 3 or 4 days a week up at the police training center, working out with the police officers, which is good to help keeping me in shape. They push me pretty hard, and it's also a good way for us to kind of continually be communicating and me to have a good handle on what's going on. So I appreciate the compliment. That motivated me to keep going.
I wanted to get right to a listener question that's come in. John points out that the first Mosey Down Main Street is coming up in a couple of days here. Yes. for this summer. And John wants to know if there are any city ordinances that cover noise or fumes that are created by the portable generators that are used during that event.
Well, I mean, obviously we do have ordinances that deal with noise. We do, evaluate those kind of on a common sense basis when you have a downtown festival, whether it's a Mosey, jazz and blues, Taste of Tippecanoe with bands and stuff, and try to allow those functions to take place, but still be considerate of folks that live downtown. And I'll be quite honest with you, on those festival night, that can be a difficult balance, even though it works out pretty well, because I think most people that live downtown live in the urban core, in those urban environments, because of the restaurants, the entertainment, the festivals. And so typically we get along through that pretty well. I can honestly tell you, I had a complaint last week about some downtown music, and that's been the first one I've had in a couple years, it seems like. So typically that works pretty well. Certainly the fumes on a generator, if that is an issue for the caller, please let me know. If he could email my office, give me a little bit more specifics about where that's happening. We'd certainly work with the folks from the Mosey, have the fire department take a look at it to make sure that we don't have an unduly amount that's getting into somebody's home or apartment or something like that. We'd certainly check on that and see if there was a better way to do that. I've never had that complaint before, but if that's something that your caller like us to look into to make sure if there's a better way to do it, we certainly will.
While we're on the subject of downtown festivals, about a year ago we talked about the city not renewing a couple of those that you'd had for a little while, and someone asked me to ask you if there were any plans to put other festivals back in those spaces, and so the volume of summer festivals came back up to where it was.
Yeah, I mean, we're having those discussions. I mean, there are, just for a point of clarification, none of those festivals were put on by the city of Lafayette. Taste of Tippecanoe put on by the Tippecanoe Arts Federation's Hot Summer Nights, and Jazz and Blues was put on by Greater Lafayette Commerce. You know, we help sponsor them and support things, but we didn't actually put those on. But those discussions are continuing about some type of music festival, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, so I'm not going to say too much, but I think if all of things comes together, folks are going to see a much more robust Riverfest this year that will kind of be on both sides of the river with some enhanced entertainment, longer hours, and some things that I think will help fill at least one of those gaps with something that's pretty cool for families, young adults, adults, and seniors, with some new things you might see this year coming with Riverfest.
Speaking of things that are right next to the river, I wanted to ask you about the promenade and the construction right there. What's the update on that? Do you have a planned opening date on that yet?
Well, it's still moving along. We're still working on some of the structural steel. Obviously, we want to make sure that we get that just right and timing that with the mark. I would hope, I won't let the cat out of the bag, but I will a little bit. I mean, we're hoping that we have that open before Riverfest or somewhere right in that time frame there. Would kind of be cool with some of the plans that we have and stuff. So we're kind of hoping there, maybe in that time frame right before Riverfest. We'll see. That's a goal of ours.
Okay. I wanted to ask you a few questions about this week's elections. And there continue to be, in general in the county, fewer Democratic candidates on the primary ballot than there were Republican candidates. And this was portrayed as a year that Democrats were going to be really energized, lots more people getting out, lots more women candidates, minority candidates, et cetera. Do you think that the party lived up to that billing this primary season?
Well, I mean, it depends. If you look at the state and national level, locals in different areas, I mean, there were some things like you discussed that happened. On the local level, I would say it was about typical for us. What happens during a non-presidential or non-city, more of a county type election, I would say that was, from a candidate standpoint, probably about what we typically do. And I have noticed, I do see a lot of enthusiasm in volunteer basis, people willing to work on people's campaigns, like, say, for Senator Donnelly and some of those offices. So I do think within the Democratic Party there is some good energy, but people actually running for elective office, that's still a big step for people. And around here, I think locally, it's not near as polarized as it is in a lot of places, particularly when it comes to local elections. And so you may not see quite that same level of energy or, people having those strong feelings, because we do work together well here. There's a lot of collaboration, and, people typically, if they see things getting done in the way that they think they should be getting done, because we provide a lot of very basic services. I mean, I think that is a little bit different twist than that when people view what's taking place in, say, the state or national elections.
I was looking over the ballots and all that, and I noticed that the Democratic Party did not field primary candidates for sheriff, prosecutor, auditor, or the two judgeships that were on the ballot. And that's, that's the majority of the countywide races that were out there. Do you think that lack of participation is worrisome, even in an environment where I think you're right? I don't think it's as polarized as it is some places. And I've heard mayors, you and elsewhere, tell me, look, on the local level, the R and the D don't matter quite as much. But there are places where they do matter, mm-hmm. and where policy can shift. What about the future of the party in the county if that lack of participation persists?
Well, I mean, I think if you look, and when you say in the county, if you're referring directly to county government and county elections, I think that's one thing. But when you look at the party as a whole in the county, so let's say we take the city of Lafayette, between city council, the mayor, and the clerk, there are 11 elected positions. 10 of those are Democrats. Mm-hmm. In West Lafayette, you have us, I think the Democrats might hold a majority on the city council. Obviously, Mayor Dennis is a Republican. His clerk is actually a Democrat. So when you look in the two cities, I think the parties have very good representation, or in the city of Lafayette, we're represented very well. And
that's why it's a little confusing to me, because it seems like you would have a bench, if you will, of people who might want to seek other offices.
The other part of that, too, is, Stan, and I think, you saw a lot of excitement this year in the Republican primary with the race for sheriff and the race for the prosecutor. But typically, sometimes folks in the city, they don't view the county elections as having the same impact on their daily lives, and they don't draw that specific connection till they do with, the city of Lafayette, picking up their trash, plowing their snow, getting their parks ready, the engineering work, flush your toilet, goes away, drink water, you have clean water. They see that very close tie to their daily lives. And I think sometimes when you talk about some of those other offices, I mean, it would be my guess, and I don't mean this in any type of derogatory fashion, but a lot of folks might not even be sure what the auditor actually does or what the recorder actually does. They don't draw that same correlation. And it's not to say we wouldn't like to see more candidates, but I'll tell you the other thing we don't do. We don't try as a party here locally, and I'm not the party chairman, so I don't want to say I'm speaking for the party or the party chairman, but it's been my position when asked. I have always said, you don't throw a body into a spot just to fill a spot if it's really not a qualified person that's doing it for the right reasons. I personally do not believe in just filling slots to say we slated candidates, and I certainly wouldn't endorse one that was put in just to fill a spot.
So let me ask you about the sheriff's race, particularly because I'd heard people on both sides of the river say they had some displeasure with the way that Sheriff Richard has done the job over the last 4 years. And it didn't seem to have anything to do with his politics. It had to do more with policy and the way operating the department. It seems like you could have found somebody on the Democratic side to put up a different idea from what Jason Domkowski is saying, because there are some people who have raised plenty of questions about his platform, and nothing against Chief Domkowski, but there's a significant difference between the way I think a Republican might run that office in this day and age, when you've got, you know, the drug problem that the county, like so many other counties, are facing, and the way a Democrat might run that office. Surely there was a qualified Democrat somewhere who could have been found to run for that spot.
Well, if there was, they didn't approach me about running for the spot, and I certainly didn't go out and try to recruit anybody. Again, I believe if somebody wants that spot, that needs to be burning in their heart and soul, and not somebody you've had to twist their arm or try to recruit to run for that spot. And the other part is, if there is any place, this is my personal opinion, I'm speaking as Tony Rozworski, if there is any place the R and the D should not matter in local elected official, it's in law enforcement, particularly the sheriff's race. And I would hope, and you know, I know Barry and Jason both, and I do hope that when they get in the office, or Jason's in the office, that party label is not there. There should be no politics in law enforcement. It is about keeping this community safe. It is about fighting the opioid crisis. It is about having enough officers on the road. It is about the way we work collaboratively. And really, I certainly respect your opinion, but I would hope there really wouldn't be a difference between a way a R or a D would run a sheriff's office. I've been in law enforcement for 20 some years. I'm a retired captain with the Lafayette Police Department. And, you know, if any place, you better just do the right things for the right reasons, regardless of politics. That's the place that should happen.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you. But I think we have to say, though, that law enforcement, especially county law enforcement around Indiana and around and elsewhere, does have a political tinge to it. Because I think if you look at the way a Republican administration might treat lawbreakers versus a way a Democratic administration might treat them, especially look at from state to state, I mean, they get treated a little bit more differently, whether it's rehabilitation or incarceration or what you're spending the money on within the jail programs, things like that. So, I mean, I think there are some differences.
Well, there may be. I do want to respond to that just a little bit. And this is a good dialogue. I really do. But I will say, maybe a little bit with what programs you would bring into the jail, that's possible. Again, I would hope not. I would hope each side would evaluate what works, what doesn't, what's best for the community. But other than that, that job is to lead and direct the men and women that are risking their lives every day in our community. No sheriff should be deciding who gets arrested and who doesn't. We have a country, we're a country of laws, and laws are clear, and probable cause is clear, and Supreme Court decisions. So the way that we treat people, the way that we arrest people, who gets arrested, who doesn't, those types of things, a political party should not be. There is a right way to run a law enforcement agency, and that political part of it should not be how those decisions are being made. And I'm just a firm. That's why I firmly believe in the merit boards and the merit systems. We have five civilians that have the ultimate say in what policemen get hired, how policemen get promoted. I believe in that civilian and taking that politics out of all those processes as much as possible, so you have the most highly educated, highly dedicated, highly trained police officers doing the right things for the right reasons. And I think that's incredibly important.
You mentioned that, you know, it's not your job or anyone's job besides the party chair to go out and try and solicit candidates who might run in these different elections. And you mentioned that this year's election was similar, you thought, to previous election cycles in terms of participation and excitement and things like that. But it still seems lackluster to me. I can't think of a better adjective than that. And I want to ask you, do you think, not disparaging anybody currently in office, but do you think that the county Democratic Party needs a shakeup at all, needs someone who's doing a better job of getting people excited to run?
No, I think Heather Maddox does a great job leading the party. Again, I mean, I ran for city council and the mayor for the first time because it was burning inside me to do. It is something I wanted to do, and that's the type of folks that I think we want running. You know, if you just look at straight-out registrations, there are more registered Republicans in Tippecanoe County than there are registered Democrats. But yet, when you look at overall, we hold a decent number of the offices. Based on percentage of registration, I'd say we're doing quite well. I know Judge Bush stepped down, but we did have Judge Bush. We had Judge Meyer. We have Eric Grossman in the assessor's office. So we had three folks in county government. So, you know, I think that Heather does a good job. I think we just have to continue. People have to continue to feel that passion inside to do that. You know, when it comes to city elections, you know, I will talk to some people. But again, most of those people are the people that come to me first and say, you know, I'm thinking about this. I really feel like maybe I should do something. Can you tell me more about it? Trying to go out and convince somebody that's never really given it any thought. Again, I would want somebody to have thought about it and said, you know, I feel like I should give back in some way. I feel like I really have something to bring to the table, as opposed to a party official trying to convince that person to run.
What kind of help do you need? And I'm curious what kind of help you get from the state Democratic Party, because this is, you know, the sixth or seventh most populous county in the state or something like that. You will hold a fair amount of sway because there's quite a number of people here. Do you get enough help from the state Democratic Party? And I should say I'm talking with actually the party chairman, John Zodi, later this afternoon. Yeah. So give me something to mention to him.
Well, you know, the state party makes its own decisions really on how they support state representatives, state senators, how they support federal folks. You know, on a local level, they don't really get involved in our local elections like my election and Cindy's in our city council. I mean, the very first year that I ran, they did just a very small amount. And to be quite honest with you, John wasn't the chairman at the time. It's nothing against anybody personally. But even that small involvement really ended up being something I wasn't comfortable with.
Why do you say that?
I like making all my own decisions. I like running my own campaigns, my own marketing. I never campaign negatively. I don't believe in push polls and different things like that. So I don't ever ask for any state money, to be honest with you. And I just raise my own money, and so I can totally control my campaign. And then I help the folks that are running on city council so they don't actually have to be out trying to raise money. They can just focus on meeting people and doing their job. And I feel, if you look back over, I'm in my fourth term now, you know, we've always run a very positive campaign with positive message, and tried to do it in a way that at the end of it, we could all be proud of how we campaigned. And so I just kind of keep it all local.
So let me ask you about that. I wondered, have this year's elections caused you to consider in any different way, and you can tell us yes or no too, whether you'd consider running for a fifth term next year?
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely going to run for a fifth term. I've continued to raise money for the last 4 years, and I love Lafayette. Like I said, you know, I've been here. My grandkids are the sixth generation of our family to live here. All four of my kids live and work here, and all the grandkids are here, and we've got great things going on in the community. We're one of the fastest-growing areas in Indiana, as you've probably seen by some of the recent news stories. Great growth, great investment, lots of jobs, continuing opportunity, but we've got a lot of projects underway, too, that we need to get done to continue that momentum. I mean, I'll be 58 in June, and again, I thank you for your compliment. I feel like I'm in really good shape physically and mentally. I've got all the energy I had, you know, when I was elected to mayor when I was 43, and I've got the same or maybe even more energy than I did then. I think we've built a good team. I think we've got great department heads at City Hall. We've got great things going with the Wabash River. And I'm not one of those people that couch those decisions or say, well, maybe I'll run, maybe I won't. You know, I plan to run again. And if I feel good, and I'm hoping that I do, I'd probably run for one more term after that.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. Thanks for being with us on the show today. You can call in your questions at 765-496-1999. Email them to ask@wbaa.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. The Lafayette Aviators baseball team, we noticed, has been sold to a local consortium. What does it mean to you to have local control of the team versus it being owned by the Wisconsin-based corporation that had owned it, that's the same corporation that also owned the Kokomo team in the same league?
Well, just first of all, I'd like to thank the folks from up in Wisconsin. They were a good group to work with, and we certainly appreciated them taking that initial risk to bring the Aviators to this community. So we certainly appreciate that. With that being said, we're really thrilled with this new ownership arrangement. As you know, two of the owners are members of the Gutweiden family that live right here in the community. Very community-minded, very community-involved folks. The other two gentlemen, one of them is a Purdue graduate. They own a company called National Sports Corporation. They're in Tennessee, but with ties to the community, especially Bill Davidson comes back a lot for Purdue events. And then there's another partner that's also involved. So I think there's two big pluses. One, you have the two guys that are local Lafayette, long-term Lafayette people, big families, a lot of involvement. Then you have Bill and his partner with the corporation called National Sports Corporation that's got a lot of experience with minor league teams, baseball, soccer, stadiums. They bring a real neat depth of national experience to the ownership also. So you kind of got the best of both worlds. You got the two guys that are right here locally, and then you got two guys, and then I said there is a third partner that have a lot of national experience. And I think that combination is going to be, along with the new stadium being built, I think that combination is going to be very powerful for us here in the community.
Do you think it'll change the game day experience for people who go to the ball games, and does it do anything to the stadium plans, which are just about to get going in earnest?
Yeah, I mean, from talking to Bill and I've met on a couple occasions now. We flew up from Tennessee so we could sit down and talk on a couple occasions, and I know he is very committed, as are the other, that the experience will be different, that it will be at a higher level. And
starting this summer?
It will be different a little bit this summer. The constraints of the current facility limit you somewhat you can do with the old Loeb Stadium. But yes, I think you'll actually see some changes even this summer. And we have made arrangements. And I think he's flying up to Indy next week to meet with the architect down in Indianapolis and to go over all of the plans, because we've finished schematic drawings, and now we're into what they call DD, detailed documents, detailed drawings. And so he's going to put his eyes on everything that we've looked and see if any of his experience around the country, he picks out anything that he thinks we need to tweak a little bit or adjust. So, yeah, he'll be in Indianapolis. It could have even been this week. If not, it's next week, to go over those plans with our architect to get his input in there and see if there's anything else we need to be doing.
We've had a caller who's called in who says they've been noticing trash along roadsides, especially on the south side of town, and wonders if there is a plan to clean that up. I apologize, I don't have any more specifics than that, yeah. But I thought I'd put that to you.
Well, about this time of year, unfortunately, with the snow melts, everything's gone. There typically is a large amount of trash from the winter that needs to be cleaned up. As you know, not this weekend, but the next weekend is our annual citywide clean sweep. So if you haven't volunteered for that, please still contact Cindy Murray in our clerk's office. We can always use more groups. We furnish the trash bags, all the gloves, and things like that. So we do have a citywide street cleanup coming. We try to get our crews to work on the ditches. People we hire to mow know to pick up the trash before we do it. But the bottom line is, you know, and I just want to be honest, I mean, there's really no reason for there to be trash. I mean, people are throwing it out their car windows. They're littering. We just need people to do that kind of basic good citizen and not litter, right? That's where the vast majority of it's coming from, is people littering. We just ask people not to litter. We'll do our best, but We cannot keep up with every McDonald's bag that gets thrown out of a car window, which is unfortunate, you know, that people would still do that. We are working through the Parks Department on an Adopt-a-Road and Adopt-a-Trail program where people are going to be able to adopt roads and trails to help us with that, to help us clean up. So I'm excited about that. But I'd be more excited about, we all kind of get back to that basic doing the right thing for the right reasons. There's lots of trash cans. Throw it in a trash can. Hold it till you get someplace. Just please don't litter as you're driving down the road.
In our last few minutes, I wanted to talk about the city's redevelopment commission talking about the Five Points neighborhood. And there are, you and I have talked about this a little bit on the show as this has gotten going. I live not far from there, and I noticed there are a number of empty storefronts or ones that seem disused a little bit. There might be something in the space, but it's not necessarily a storefront. I wondered, what do you think the city can do to incentivize investment there, incentivize cleanup of the existing spaces? Because that would seem to have to be part of what's going to happen.
Sure. It's a good question, Stan. I got to be a little bit careful how I answer it, but it's a very good question. By putting the plan together, we have spurred interest, and by putting the baseball stadium to anchor that in, and by what people seen downtown, there has been a lot of interest. And I can tell you this. I can't reveal any names or anything, but Dennis and I had our first meeting with a developer that is looking at a redevelopment in the Five Points area. And so
let me ask you about that for a second, because that goes to another question I had, which is, you've got some really cool old historic buildings in that neighborhood. You've got some that frankly look like they could just be knocked down and you could put something much better in its place. Which of those seems more likely to you? Do you think it's going to be more renovation of existing space, or is someone talking to you about, hey, I want to just raise what's here and put up something brand new in its place?
You know, it's going to be a little bit of a combination. Again, very fair, very good question. We would like on certain things to be able to save some of the historic character, but it may have to be pieces and small pieces, and a lot of things might have to come down because of what you said. And also to get it into marketable condition, marketable standards, you know, because some of those things have set up there vacant and without a lot of maintenance for quite some time. And so whenever, like this last group we met with, we've talked about the potential of maybe pieces that could be, but there'd be significant amount of things that would come down with the initial thoughts. And I don't know if this is going to work out or not. With this group, I mention it in fairness to you for asking the question, because I don't want to be invasive. I can't reveal, but this is the, you know, we did get, and it's not been too long since we announced the completion of that plan, that we had our first group come and talk to us. And again, they said, I don't know if this is going to work out, Tony, but we're thinking about it. They wanted to ask Dennis and I, we had our city attorney there. They wanted to ask us some additional questions, get some additional data, wanted to know if they could get some more segments of the report that MKSK did, some of the deeper dive stuff to analyze a little bit. And so I don't know if it'll work out, but I do take it as a good sign that we've sparked somebody that's willing to come in and start talking to us.
Okay. Well, Mr. Mayor, as always, thanks for your time. That's it for the show this week, but we look forward to following this discussion and much more with you next month.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember, you can send questions for any of our four mayors to our email address, ask@wbaa.org. Tune in at this time next week for our conversation with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, and find all of these shows archived at our website. That's wbaa.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.